This evening, once again, we invite you to the Gospel of Luke chapter 18. The Gospel of Luke chapter 18. We're going to once again read the verses that we read this morning. Chapter 18 of Luke, verses 18 through 30. Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 18 and going down through verse 30. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto thee, there is no man that has left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of these verses once again this afternoon. This afternoon, we'd like to continue on with our study here in this 18th chapter and with regards to that of the account here of the rich young ruler. Our focus tonight will not be particularly on the rich young ruler, but as I made mention this morning, that in all three synoptic accounts here, we have three questions that are asked. First one is, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Second one, why callest thou me good? Three, who then can be saved? Now, our focus tonight is going to be upon that of the third question. Who then can be saved? Jesus, in dealing with that of the rich young ruler, he pointed him unto God. He pointed him to the law. And then he told him there was one thing that he lacked. And that one thing was for him to go and sell all that he had, all of his possessions, give it to the poor, and to come and follow him. Jesus wasn't teaching a salvation by that of works. In telling this young man that he was to go and to sell all of his possessions, to give away that of his riches, he was dealing with him with regards to that of the main sin that was in his life that needed to be dealt with. The young man had said with regards to the commandments that Jesus had made mention, "All these I have kept from that of my youth up." I believe we asked a question with regards to that matter. What did that really mean? What did that really mean? Why did the Lord make mention of the commandments that he did, which were the commandments with regards to that of one's relationship with a fellow man? and then ask that of the young man with regards to them. I believe that we might say that it was because these commandments were ones that were easy in some respect for that of the rich young ruler. These were ones that, you know, he had aced, so to speak. That is, he was a good moral person. He was good to that of his fellow man, to that of his parents. He obeyed them. He honored them. And so those were the easy commandments. But the ones that were not are the ones that you'll note, for him that is, are the ones that were left out. That of the sin of idolatry, that of the sin of covetousness. These sins having to do with that of one's relationship with God. Jesus told the rich young ruler he needed a Savior. Not in those words, but in dealing with him here, he was pointing out his sin and his need for that of a Savior. That he needed to repent and to trust and to come and to follow him. The young man's response was that of sorrow, and he went away. He rejected the Lord here at this point. As we said this morning, we don't know what happened to this young man. We don't know even what his name was as far as scriptures were concerned. As we consider the question here tonight that we want to focus in on, the first thing that I would like for us to consider is that of the context of the question here. Who then can be saved? Well, of course, as we've already noted, the context of the question is the Lord Jesus' conversation with the rich young ruler and the statement that the Lord made to him in verse 22, which had to do with that of him lacking the one thing and that of him not being happy about it. Verse 23, he went away sorrowful, for he was very rich. As we think of the context, not only do we have the context of the Lord Jesus and him dealing with that of the rich young ruler here, but there's another context here that is important for us to see, and that is the context with regards to the Lord Jesus and the disciples. Our Lord, having heard, spoken to the young man and the man going away sorrowful, note what our Lord immediately says here in verse 24. Let's back up verse 23, and it says, "And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Now, the young man was most likely still around and probably heard our Lord make that of this statement. How hardly then shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? What was the Lord saying here? How hardly? He was speaking of the difficulty. The difficulty for that of a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. He is not telling us out and out that a rich man cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But he is speaking of the fact of the difficulty. And the difficulty comes with regards to that of the riches. The riches of the individual. How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. He uses that of an example of that of a needle and that of a camel, and a camel going through that of the eye of the needle. Of course, we know that it was a hyperbole here, language that the Lord was using here. We know a needle with a hole in it, a camel can't go through that. And yet, our Lord was emphasizing what he was doing. He was emphasizing. He was emphasizing that of the fact of the difficulty for that of a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Didn't say that they couldn't, but he was emphasizing that it was difficult for that to take place. Now, it's in light of that of what our Lord says here that there are some who hear him. I made mention that perhaps a rich man was still around. He perhaps was. But he's not in the picture anymore. But there are some other individuals that are in the picture. Now here, in that of the passage which is before us, it says, "And they that heard it said, who then can be saved?" Who then can be saved? Now, the ones who were nearby and who asked the question are the ones that are described here as they. Now, who are these individuals? Well, we have to go to the other two accounts that are found in Matthew and in Mark to find the answer. Over in Mark chapter 10, if you turn there with us. Mark chapter 10. And verse number 24. Let's back up to verse 23. "And Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his word. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved?" Now you note here in these verses that it's the disciples that hear the Lord and who then ask the question. And it's based upon the fact that they have heard that of the Lord's declaration and they're amazed at that of the statement. They're astonished, it says here. Greatly astonished. Matthew has similar language over in that of Matthew chapter 19. Upon hearing this, they couldn't hardly believe that our Lord was making that of this statement. But as you'll note here in Mark's account, that our Lord, he goes on to say there, children, how hard is it for them to trust in riches to enter in to the kingdom of God. And so the issue at hand is that of individuals who are rich and who are trusting in that of their riches. That's where the difficulty comes in. They're not trusting in God, they're trusting in that of their riches, thinking that their riches is going to make it so that they can get to heaven or enter into the kingdom of God. Well, like I say, the disciples, they are just shocked. Who then can be saved? That's the question. Our Lord here he tells his disciples It's difficult. Why? Why is it so difficult? Well, there are several thoughts I would leave with you tonight. First of all, it's difficult because man knows not the way. Man knows not the way. One may say, well, I know the way. Jesus is the way. Yeah, many people, they have that of knowledge, that of mental knowledge. But that's all that it is. It's merely that of mental knowledge. They don't have that of the heart knowledge. They have head knowledge, but they don't really believe. They think, yeah, I know it's through Jesus, but you know, I'll do this. I'll do this good work. My baptism, my church membership, that ought to take care of everything. You see, they know not the way. And what is the way? Beloved, the only way of salvation is by grace. Is by grace. And man, the only way that he knows, or he thinks he knows, to get to heaven is by that of merit. His own merit. And as we look back upon that of the rich young ruler, and we look back upon that of the disciples, that's what we see. That's what we see. The rich young ruler said unto the Lord, what must I do? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Looking at that question and the emphasis there would seem to indicate that the young man was thinking that there was something that he could do. That of himself. And when the Lord spoke the law unto him, he said, well, I've done that. I've done that. This is the ideal that is found in that of the hearts of all men and women born in this world before God. They think, well, I can make my way. I'm not as bad as you might think. I'm good at heart, basically. The disciples, they weren't exempt from this either. They weren't exempt from this either. As they heard the words of our Lord and Savior, and they thought about the rich man. I mean, the rich man, he was rich. Look at what he could do with his riches. Surely there was something that he could do with that of his riches that would perhaps make him all right. You know, the Jews, they thought that because they had the circumcision in the flesh, that they were all right. And many today think because they have made a profession of faith, they've walked the aisle, they've said the sinner's prayer, They've been baptized. They come to church, maybe perhaps on Sunday morning, that everything's all right. Well, of course, we know that that's not the case. There is a way that seems right in the eyes of men, but the end thereof is death, Scripture tells us. One's money, one's religion, one's moral life isn't going to get them in to heaven. So, the issue is man doesn't know the way. Secondly, the issue is that of man's sin. In the case of the rich young ruler, it was that of his riches and that of his idolatry, his covetousness. His riches was that of what had his affection. Man, his sin, that's his issue. That's his problem. That's why it's difficult. Scripture tells us, of man, by nature, there is none that seeketh after God. You know why none seek after God? Because they're seeking elsewhere. They're seeking other things that in no way can meet their needs. Man needs a righteousness to come before God. He needs that of some clothing. And it's not that of his self-righteous rags. But he needs that of the righteous robe of the Lord Jesus Christ. He needs the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And only then can he come before that of a holy and just God and be acceptable. Who then can be saved? Note verse 27 of our passage. Luke chapter 18, verse number 27. They that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Salvation is of the Lord. It is a miracle of love and grace, as we sang about this afternoon. God must intervene. God must intervene in that of the life of the individual. Arrest them. And in so doing, bring them unto himself. Jesus, we're told here, he said, there's authority. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Salvation is impossible with men, but not with God. With God, nothing is impossible. All right. Let's stand. I'm going to ask Brother Don if he'll lead us in a closing word of prayer.
Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to be grateful, glad, Lord, for the good news, the gospel of all that Christ has done for us, making possible, Lord, our salvation, doing that which is impossible for us. Lord, we rejoice in Him. Lord, we are so grateful that we have this perfect cloak of righteousness. Lord, the standing of Christ, this relationship with Thee, to be brought nigh to Thee, to become Thy children by faith, joint heirs with Christ. Father, for all this, Lord, we offer praise and thanksgiving. Lord, may we more and more appreciate and rejoice in what we have in Christ. May that be our strength. Lord, deliver us from trusting in our flesh, or looking to princes, Lord, may our eyes be fixed upon Thee, great deliverer. Father, we do pray that You would bless Your word to each of our hearts. Lord, may we know Your fellowship throughout this coming week. Lord, direct our lives. Yes. Lord, we do pray for Carl. Lord, even now as he goes through surgery, Lord, as we pray, Lord, may You be pleased to give him health, recovery. Lord, may You minister to his soul in an effectual, saving way. Lord, we bless the family. Lord, we pray for Stephen. Lord, for him, his addiction. Lord, may You be pleased to grant repentance and life. Lord, to each of our family members, those who may walk in darkness, Lord, may they find all that is precious in Your dear Son. Father, bless the ministry of the Word here and Word in pulpits throughout this city, this country, Lord, to the very ends of the earth. Lord, bless all Thy servants who labor in the harvest. Lord, may laborers be sent forth, may You move mightily in these days before the coming of Thy Son. Be honored and glorified, happy and blessed. Lord, bless our country. May you continue your quiet and peaceful life. Father, all these things we pray and we offer thanksgiving again to you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. May the Lord bless you.